front is Mirella Marlow.
Okay. Thank you. I didn't do any slides because I got told not to, so I'm not very good without slides, so instead I'm going to have to read you what I've written. And I'm also going to do it sitting down so I don't have to fight with the lectern where there isn't any space to put bits of paper. So in the introductory materials around this event, it was very much around the statement, the current financial climate, there's a pressing need for resurgence in innovation, which provides solutions to key problems with fewer resources. Sounds fine. Now, I work for NICE, the National Institute for Health and Clinical Excellence, and we regard ourselves, we are at the forefront of this endeavour. Our role is to find and evaluate medical devices and diagnostics and recommend the ones that are clinically and cost-effective for use in the NHS. And that's the NHS, not the large ship, but the NHS that has to save £30 billion over about the next 3 to 5 years. I think the official figure is 20 billion, but I have heard the Director of Finance of the NHS say he thinks it's probably 30. Now that's 25% of the budget of the NHS. Obviously, you know, it needs big scale change, as Daniel said, but we're taking part in this. So I want to talk about two matters. One is, firstly, some important features of a process for introducing innovative medical technologies into routine use. And secondly, I want to talk about how NICE supports the development of further evidence on innovative medical technologies. First, a bit about how NICE works and its unique features that put it in a good position to put medical intervention into frontline healthcare in an ethical way. We run a number of programs that evaluate and produce guidance on across a range of products, pharmaceuticals, procedures, devices, diagnostics, pathways of care, and also public health. We work with a wide range of stakeholders. So we work with industry, we work with clinicians, we work with lay people, we work with members of the public, we work with academics. And the object of the exercise is to use a deliberative decision-making process that reflects the features of Daniel's and Sabin's accountability for reasonableness. We produce guidance based on a comprehensive evidence base subject to rigorous assessment and analysis. But as well as the published evidence, another very vital component is the input of clinical experts and patients, both as individuals and as patient groups. And this gives us a complete picture of the evidence so that our decision-making bodies can really take hold of that. And they have expertise in synthesizing all of these sources of evidence and information into some practical recommendations. And in particular, obviously, with medical technologies and devices and diagnostics, in implementing these into the frontline NHS, they have to be clear that they can be used in a practical sense. Otherwise, you know, a technology that can't be used has no value. And it's quite amazing how our advisory committees will sit there discussing, you know, this thing has to be put in an envelope and sent to southern Spain, and is that really going to happen? And therefore, does this new diagnostic, can it really be used? Very important questions. That's the whole process that we follow is based on transparency and contestability. So stakeholders can get to comment on our draft recommendations. They see all the evidence on which NICE's recommendations are based. Anyone can comment on our guidance, and you know, perhaps you have already, and perhaps you will one day. Please do. It's a very important part of our process. Now, we're particularly trying to identify innovative medtech products that provide a solution to key problems with fewer resources. And we've set up a new program called the Medical Technologies Evaluation Program, and, crucially, a new methodology for doing that. And it's the first of its kind in the world being used by a body such as NICE. So we're being innovative in our methods, in our evaluation methods, not just in the products that we're looking at. So instead of using, have we got any health economists here? Good. Instead of applying the full health economics approach involving cost effectiveness with complex modelling and utility scores, we've developed a simpler cost consequences approach which can be applied provided the product we're evaluating is clinically non-inferior. And that means we can make recommendations that are on products that are benefits of patients. And we can do it relatively quickly with this methodology so that we can ensure that products are implemented as quickly as possible in relation to their licensing. So it's pretty important. Typically, as we know, innovative medtech products are disruptive, and it's precisely their disruptive nature that releases resources. They change the treatment setting or the person who gives the treatments, or they reduce the need for ongoing drugs or perhaps operations. So that's how they reduce value, how they improve value by reducing cost. I'll give you an example that we evaluated earlier this year. There's this device called Plurex, and it's a product for draining malignant ascites from that's the build-up of fluid in the abdominal cavity in patients at terminal stages of cancer. The novel aspect of this technology, which is very simple, is that it allows the patient to drain the fluid off themselves at home rather than having to go into hospital as an inpatient. So these are patients who are at the treatment-resistant stage of their illness. They want to spend as much time as they possibly can with their family. And it's a very marvellous product that was positively evaluated and recommended by NICE. It saves around £700 per patient, and that cost is saved by the reduced admission to hospital. Patients are understandably pretty enthusiastic about it. So a lady came and spoke very movingly to our Medical Technologies Advisory Committee about how unpleasant it is to have a terminal cancer, and moreover to have this enormous stomach that makes you feel very uncomfortable and gives you a very poor body image when you're already feeling quite bad, and that this product obviously had a benefit. So, you know, we had an innovation. It saves money, it keeps patients out of hospital beds, it gives them more control over their treatments at a most difficult time in their lives. Thank you. And as usual, we were able to develop that guidance on using our deliberative process. So I'm quickly going to jump a bit, and I'm just going to go into talking a bit about the development of our evidence base. There's currently an important strand of government policy that's actively encouraging the development of medical devices and diagnostics industries as a boost to the UK economy, and it was outlined last December by the Prime Minister in the UK strategy for life sciences. And I think that leads to a sort of question that I'm wondering what is the right balance between this policy strand of promoting the health of the economy through companies, the need to develop them as commercial entities that develop innovative medical technologies, and patients being treated with those innovative products while the evidence base is still building. So there's been a lot of critical debate in the medical journals about this recently, in the BMJ and the NEJM in particular, criticising the lack of regulation for medical devices and asserting that some of them may be being introduced at a rate that is too fast in relation to us being certain of their benefits. I think that's quite a legitimate anxiety, that people may believe that some of these products are just being pushed too quickly and maybe compromising patients' well-being in an effort to boost our economy, which doesn't seem like a very good bargain for the patients in the long run. Whatever we think about that, the fact is, as we know, it's very difficult to build a credible evidence base quickly on medical technologies, because often the outcomes that we're interested in will only appear quite a long time after they're used. So another innovation in our methods at NICE has been that we are making recommendations about gathering further evidence or recommending the product should only be used in research, but we're actually then going on to ensure that that research is done. So we work with the companies to then make sure that the gaps in the evidence get filled so that we can come back and review the guidance at a later date.
1 minute.
Thank you. And another thing that we've been doing is working with register data to corroborate it with health episode, hospital episode statistics to make a complete evidence base that can then be analysed and presented to our committee. So that's another innovation. We know there are things like sort of wiki type, crowdsourcing type data sets like Patients Like Me, and I guess in the future some of those might be quite useful in terms of developing evidence for us to look at NICE. So basically, just kind of two messages. One is, if you're going to introduce innovation, you need a kind of ethical process to do it, which we believe we have at NICE. You also need some innovative methods to evaluate and develop your evidence base, because your innovative products often challenge the existing methodologies, the kind of standard methodologies that you would use in pharmaceuticals. So that's the end of my message. Thank you very much.